Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to those on the webcast. Good to see everyone. Oh, there's a nice little buzz in the crowd today. Must be for the Brits last weekend, I think. Well, have you ever noticed something that didn't seem quite right? I don't know if you have had one of those experiences, but maybe from a distance or maybe from a passing glance, it seemed normal. But then once you got a little closer, maybe you got your hands on the real deal, you realize something was just a little off. Something was just a little bit wrong. And maybe you thought back to the last time you had the real deal in your hands, and then you look and see that, I don't know, you know, something's just not quite right there. I can't put my finger on it. And, you know, maybe the lighting was a little bit different. Maybe the scale is a little bit different. Memories fade over time. So whatever is the case, sometimes it can be easy to second guess yourself. In a lot of cases, it can be hard to distinguish between the genuine and the counterfeit. And this applies to spiritual concepts as well as it does to physical goods. Now, you don't have to turn back there, but it reminds me of Moses and Aaron when they first went to Pharaoh to try to get the people to leave Egypt in Exodus chapter 7. And Moses and Aaron, and they throw their rods down, and it turns into snakes. That's pretty convincing right there, right? Well, you know the story. You know, Pharaoh's own minions, they throw down their sticks. They turn into snakes as well. And they were able to duplicate some of the next signs and wonders too. So Pharaoh, he's got to be thinking, huh, I don't know here. How can I tell if Moses is the right one or if Moses is bringing a counterfeit God? How can I make that determination? They both seem pretty convincing to me. And it was confusing. Now, I do want to turn back to Matthew chapter 7. You can head back there. Matthew chapter 7. And I've thought about this passage over the years, and it's always made me wonder just a little bit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Sheep's clothing, of course, meaning that they have the appearance of regular old folks. Nothing to be alarmed about by them at all. They're just hanging out with the rest of the sheep there. Verse 16, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Bad tree can't bear good fruit." Verse 19, "Every tree that does not grow good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Verse 20, "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Okay, this seems pretty straightforward here. There are attributes, there are characteristics that you can use in determining if something is the real deal. Now, someone may say that they have a real Picasso painting, but if they bring up something that's crayons on notebook paper, well, then you have every right to be a little skeptical. If someone says they're a churchgoer and they come to church every week in nice clothes, they turn to every one of the scriptures, then they leave and then go to the shrimp festival on the Sabbath, well, you have every right to be a little skeptical of that as well. But it goes on here, verse 21. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." All right, wait a second here. They're calling on the name of the Lord here. This is starting to get a little trickier for me. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now, I've never cast out any demons. I haven't done many, let alone one, wonders. And if I was standing next to people that were doing the same, all in the name of Jesus Christ especially, I would have trouble identifying if they were the real deal or not. And how about you? Can someone that is doing all these wonderful things be a counterfeit Christian? And when it comes to making that determination, it's not to judge them or anything like that, but rather to ensure that you yourself aren't drawn away or misled by something contrary to God's way. Because at the end of the day, we want to be anchored to true, genuine Word of God, to have true, meaningful relationships, to seek after true, righteous character, and to cling on to that true treasure that's been refined in fire. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard of how the Secret Service trains its agents to defect counterfeit currency. When the Secret Service was established back in 1865, they did have that primary task of identifying counterfeit currency, and they had a big task ahead of them. When they were founded, it was just after the Civil War, and some people estimate that anywhere between one-third and one-half of all the currency in circulation after the Civil War was bogus. And they did a pretty good job, because now the most recent estimates are that less than 0.01% of 1% of the money in circulation right now is counterfeit, and almost all of that is overseas. Now, how did the Secret Service get that number down? Well, of course, there was a big education push. Of course, they had technology advancements, and absolutely, they had better law enforcement techniques and the like, and certainly all of those did play a huge role. But one of the biggest ways is how they trained their agents to identify counterfeit bills. And they did that by having them get so intimately familiar with the real bills. The touch, the texture of them, the color, how they were engraved, the folds and the bends of them. Maybe even they tasted them, I don't know. But every characteristic they could uncover, they memorized, so that if they came across a fake bill in the wild, they intuitively knew that something was wrong. Maybe they couldn't put the finger on it right then and there. Maybe they didn't know exactly what detail was forged, but they knew something just wasn't quite right. Well, the point that I'd like to emphasize today is that there is the counterfeit everywhere. There are counterfeit goods. There are counterfeit religions, counterfeit ideas, counterfeit relationships, you name it. And the best way to ensure that you have the genuine is to become so intimately knowledgeable about the real thing that you can spot an imposter a mile away. And once you have that real deal, then you hold on to it fast, like the treasure that it truly is. Now, I do want to notice a classic example in Acts with the Bereans. You can turn back there. It's Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We'll start in verse 10. Of Acts chapter 17, and this is right on the heels of Paul's travels in Thessalonica, where there his message didn't go over all that well, at least to some, to the point where they were stalking him, trying to beat him. And I want to notice this contrast starting in verse 10 of Acts 17. Acts 17, 10 says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness." And get this. "And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." And as a result of that, it says, "Therefore many of them believed, and not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." So they got this message from Paul, and they had to make the determination. Was this real, or was this the counterfeit? And the only way for them to tell was to dig into the scriptures. And that's exactly what they did. It's the template for us to follow at a spiritual level, and it's a great example for us to incorporate into our own lives. The last 4 years here, we have been very blessed to have a great spiritual leader and a wonderful, genuine family for us among us. Not every Christian community has that. Not every Church of God has that. So hopefully we didn't take that for granted. Now the job is on us personally to dive into the Bible and have that become second nature. But having true, genuine leadership makes a difficult path just a little easier to trot. I'm very thankful for what the Brits brought to Northern Virginia, and I'm going to miss Lena and others. Let us continually dive into the Bible to really incorporate God's word into our lives, to really have an understanding of his way of life so that it becomes second nature. It becomes our instinct. That way, if we are confronted by counterfeit religion, even those providing wonderful signs and miracles, then we are well prepared to detect the true from the false. Let us hold fast to the true and genuine, true character, true values, true friendships, even those that decide to move several states away. Well, some of the more eagle-eye observers in the audience may have noticed that there is something a little different about me today. I made a very small change to see if any of you could test what was different. And of course, the difference is this handkerchief. This is a fake handkerchief. It's made of paper. I don't normally wear handkerchiefs. I knew I couldn't fool you guys. You're very observant. I knew you'd spot this a mile away. But this, though, this is the ridiculous stuff. Let's not be fooled for the stuff that really matters. Instead, let's not let the counterfeit deceive us, but rather let's seek after and cherish the true and the genuine.